Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guests on this edition are Border Servant Corps Executive Director Kari Lenander and Program Coordinator Sophia Sepp. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Tell me about Border Servant Corps. What is it?
So Border Servant Corps started in 1997 by a retired teacher, Dot Quaintance, from Las Cruces. She had served with a community up in Denver and thought that it would be helpful to bring this program down to the border. The program promotes and demonstrates justice, kindness, and humility through the intentional exploration of community, simplicity, social justice, and spirituality in the border region. We have three different main things that we focus on: full-time volunteers, border immersions, and community engagement opportunities.
For full-time volunteers, they can live in their own homes or not?
So people apply, and for those that are invited to participate, they come, and we have a home, actually, one home in Las Cruces and one home in El Paso. And for people who come to serve for full-time for a full year, they live in what we call intentional community. So they live in a house together, and they have shared resources and shared programming to support their service throughout the year.
Is this like the Peace Corps, then?
It is similar to the Peace Corps, yes, domestically.
If they don't want to give a whole year of their time, people can also participate with community engagement.
Sure. We have lots of opportunities for that.
So we host different events throughout the year, and we focus these on different monthly themes to also support the volunteer development and as a kind of practice for living the tenets that we have for our program long-term throughout their lives, not just during this one year. So some of those themes include community, simple living, sustenance and wholeness, immigration, governance and community engagement. And so the two main events that we have for community members to participate in are the service site community nights. So one of our full-time volunteers will host an open house at their service site, and they will have staff members share about their experiences there, what the organization does for the community. Often it includes like experiential learning and interactive activities as well.
Sophia, you're the program coordinator. How long have you been involved with Border Servant Corps?
I started as a year-long volunteer in 2014 and then transitioned onto staff after my year.
What inspired you? What was your passion to get involved?
I visited the El Paso, Las Cruces area as an undergraduate on an alternative spring break type trip, and I learned a lot about the dynamics of the border region, immigration policy, and all of the different kind of stakeholders in that. And then I knew I wanted to do a year of service after graduation. And then after coming here and visiting, I knew that I wanted to do it on the border.
And as a graduate from NMSU?
A graduate from Georgetown University in D.C.
So you came all the way from Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Kari, you've been the executive director for almost 10 years, right?
Well, I've been involved with the program for almost 10 years. I also started as a volunteer with the program. I served for 2 years in downtown El Paso with one of our service sites, and then I left for a little bit and have been back on staff now since 2011.
So some of the service sites, let's talk about that. In Las Cruces, you have ACLU and New Mexico Regional Center for Border Rights. Name some of the others.
In Cruces, we also partner this year with Doñana Communities United, Jardín de los Niños, and St. Luke's Healthcare Clinic. Next year, we'll also be partnering with Community of Hope, and as well as the Beloved Community.
What is the Beloved Community?
The Beloved Community is a project that works with young adults that have intellectual disabilities, physical or intellectual disabilities.
And of these service sites, how do they benefit from your program?
The service sites receive someone who is passionate and dedicated to the mission of each of these service sites, and they serve full time at the service site that the volunteer is assigned to. So year-long volunteers all arrive mid-August, and they serve through the end of July. So for an entire year, the service site receives someone who's with them for 40 hours a week. And the intention of partnering with these with these service sites is that they are all nonprofits and they're all seeking to add capacity. And so that's what our volunteers do. They come in and they're able to do something and help the organization in a way that the organization isn't able to do themselves. So expand the capacity of what an organization would normally be able to do.
Currently, how many full-time volunteers do you have in this area?
We currently have 9 volunteers. Every year we have about 8 to 12.
And since they're volunteers, they don't get paid. How do they subsist?
That's a great question. So all of our volunteers have their housing and utilities paid for. Simplicity is one of our tenants, and so as such, our volunteers either bike or walk to their service sites, so they're saving on gas as well as thinking about the environment in their everyday lives. They all receive a small personal stipend, and then for their food, there's a shared allotment that's given to the house, and they collectively discuss things like wants versus needs and where they shop and how they shop. It's always fun to see when we have vegetarians and vegans and carnivores in the same house and they're all sharing a food budget. Those are things that have to be worked out, and those are important conversations that take place often at the beginning of the year. Also, volunteers are able to put their loans, often able to put their loans, into either deferment or forbearance. And so that helps them be able to participate in the program.
And do the volunteers come from all parts of the nation, or are they mostly from this area?
They do. Volunteers come from everywhere. We've had volunteers come from international contexts. We've had volunteers come from different parts of the United States. We've also had local volunteers who have chosen to serve in their own community.
And Sophia, what have you seen as one of the major reasons that the volunteers participate?
I think there are a variety of reasons. I think one of the big things that our program hopefully accomplishes is a lot of personal growth. The majority of our volunteers are coming usually straight out of an undergraduate experience. So not only do they get the work experience serving full-time at a service site in a capacity that often they wouldn't be able to, kind of at an entry level, and then also through the different programming and events and exploration of the tenants that happens, I think one of the biggest pieces of feedback we get from volunteers is that they experience a lot of personal growth through being, you know, pushed outside of their comfort zone and things like that.
Being that it's a border servant corps, it really talks about the immigration, and we have the wall. Is this something that's going to affect the border servant corps?
I'm sure that it will affect many of the, especially many of the community members and clients that our volunteers work with. I know some of our organizations have reached out for like information about what rights their clients might have and things like that. I think at the same time, we're facing a lot of the things that have already been very present in the border community, and now they're just kind of more visible at the like national level, and they are exacerbated as well.
Now in El Paso, you work with the Diocesan Migrant and Refugee Services, Iglesia Luterana Cristo Rey, Latinitas, Las Americas Immigrant Advocacy Center, and more. And are you all bilingual?
Many of our volunteers are bilingual. It's been an increasing requirement for many of our service sites that people are at least conversationally bilingual to be able to serve all community members. And depending on the service site, volunteers have varying levels of frequency. So two that you mentioned, Diocesan Migrant and Refugee Services and Las Americas Immigrant Advocacy Center, are both working with people to try to work with their legal documents. And so for both of those, our volunteers are required to have a higher level of fluency than at some of our other places. So it is true, many of our volunteers are bilingual.
So some upcoming events. Now, are the events, are these fundraisers for Border Servant Corps as well?
You know, many of these events are events that we have during the year came about because we were offering so many services to people who came to serve for the year. And we heard people locally asking, Well, we would love to hear from some of the speakers that year-long volunteers get to hear for. We would love to get to know some of the sites where volunteers are serving and see if we can, in fact, serve ourselves. So these are actually, they're not fundraisers for Border Servant Corps. They're meant to engage people who are here locally and provide opportunities for people to become engaged and learn more about our own community.
The Doñana Communities United will be your host on an open house for both their program and for the Border Servant Corps.
Yes, it will. Every time we're at a service site, we meet from 6:30 to 8:30. We always begin with a potluck, and we think it's a really good way to start a gathering by sharing a meal together. And then, as Sophia mentioned, the volunteer actually plans that evening in conjunction with each of those staff members. So it's really great to see our volunteers really bring their creative energy and their passion for what they're doing to the forefront to help not only inform their other volunteers, but other community members that come to learn about the organization that they've been serving with as well.
And then you also have Issues Nights that's open to the public. What are some of the issues, Sophia?
So Issues Nights are new this year, and they've been a way of bringing in kind of guest speakers and experts within our own communities about many of the topics that we explore, often related to the monthly themes that I mentioned earlier. And so in May, we'll have Molly Malloy come and speak with our volunteers and whoever else from the community wants to attend. We've had another NMSU professor talk about like the history and context of the border region. We recently had a local Chicana artist from El Paso come and speak and do like an interactive art project with those who attended as well. So it really runs the gamut, and it's a really cool way to learn and also like kind of do some hands-on stuff as well.
So the Issues Night for the month of May will be on Tuesday, May the 16th, with Molly Malloy from New Mexico State University, and to talk about the borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kari, on May 19th, on Friday, there'll be a very special celebration. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so Friday, May 19th, we'll be celebrating our 20th anniversary as an organization, as Border Servant Corps. We're celebrating at the Grapevine Plaza at 6 p.m. We have a variety of things that will be happening, including our founder, Dot Quaintance, will be coming back to speak. We also have Melissa Lopez, who's the Executive Director of Diocesan Migrant and Refugee Services, that will be speaking as someone who has been a site supervisor for many years. We have someone who has been an alum. Her name is Diana Linden Johnson, and she currently serves in El Paso, helps with some of our programming there with our year-long volunteers. And we're just excited to spend that time together. We're also going to have a live auction. We have 20 serving trays that have been painted. They're all different shapes and sizes and materials. And we have local artists and people who are alums who have sent trays in that we will be live auctioning that evening.
So this is a dinner.
It is a dinner, yes.
And there'll be speakers, as you mentioned. Again, that's the 20th anniversary celebration of Border Servant Corps at the Grapevine Plaza, May 19th at 6 p.m. And you can find out more information on their website, borderservantcorps.org. And you're also on Facebook, on Twitter.
And Instagram.
Instagram.
Oh, and we'd also love to share that we have two recognitions that Border Servant Corps has received recently that we're very honored to have received. In the Huffington Post, we were named in the class of 2017 as one of the service programs that changed the world by the Center for Faith and Service. And then just recently in March, the New Mexico Commission for Community Volunteerism gave Border Servant Corps the Champion of Volunteerism Award for our outstanding dedication and commitment to community volunteerism in the state of New Mexico. We're very honored and grateful, and it comes at a wonderful time as we're here celebrating 20 years of service in the borderlands.
Well, thank you again for Border Servant Corps, Kara Leninder, Executive Director, and Program Coordinator Sophia Sepp.
Thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.